Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings 5. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And it came about when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking quarrel against me." It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down, dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When he returned to the man of God with all his company and came and stood before him, he said, "Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So please take a present from your servant now." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will take nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "If not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules load of earth, for your servant will no more offer burnt offering, nor will he sacrifice to other gods but to the Lord. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter." And he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him some distance. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, "Behold, my master has spared this Naaman, the Aramean, by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw one running after him, he came down from the chariot to meet him, and he said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, 'Behold, just now, 2 young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of clothes.'" And Naaman said, "Be pleased to take 2 talents. And he urged them and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of clothes and gave them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them before him. When he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and deposited them in the house, and he sent the men away, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, 'Where have you been, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Your servant went nowhere.' Then he said to him, 'Did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave to you and to your descendants forever.' And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow." Amen. Okay. You guys ready? Some pretty good stuff, all right, in this passage. So we're introduced to a guy, Naaman. And Naaman is a fairly respectable person in the sense that, first of all, there's a servant girl that actually wants to help him. And so even though you can't really tell, the word it says and he was highly respected. Actually, the translation is a little off. It just means he was rich. But you could see that there was something going on in the background between the Arameans, the Syrians basically, and the Israelites, in the sense that these guys came into Israel territory every once in a while and actually kidnapped people. And so that's kind of the situation that's going on here. So it's the time is a little tenuous that's happening here in this place. There's a new king of Israel, and this king does not know Elisha. And so to get an idea, why is this even miracle happening? Does he have a special place in his heart for Naaman? No, he doesn't. He says it right there in verse 8. At the end, he says, now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And so this miracle is done primarily for the king of Israel. The king of Israel, so Naaman in this custom is this little girl, says to Naaman's wife, there is a prophet in Israel that can cure him of his leprosy. Naaman is really a figure that's actually quite common around us. Naaman is an extremely powerful man. Naaman is a prosperous man. Naaman is a mighty man. But yet Naaman has a weakness. And in this weakness, it's dealing with this idea of leprosy. Now, you have to understand, in Syrian custom of where he's from, leprosy, it doesn't really mean that much. It's like a bad disease, but it doesn't carry with it the social aspects that it does in the Israelite to the Jews. And so there's something crossing over, but there's something about Naaman that even though in his society, it's not really deemed socially as bad, but yet it's eating him up. There's something about this that really, really is not sitting well with Naaman. And so he is so desperate for this cure that he goes and he finds and tries to find this man of God. So he goes to the king, which would have been proper diplomatic protocol, go before the king. King sends a letter. Now, this letter is very peculiar, and he basically says, here's some money, a lot of money, talents of silver, and then shekels of gold, and then 10 changes of clothes. Now, these are not just changes of clothes. These are like very ornate, beautiful, very expensive coats that they would have. And typically, to get an idea, these coats would be used in a proper ceremony in this regard. And what they would do is, in one evening, you would change your clothes 10 times, which meant this is how wealthy you were, this is how glorious you were, and all these things. It's kind of like I went to a really, really posh Chinese wedding, and the girl, man, she changed like 5 times. And every time, and we had to keep clapping for her every time she came out. And, it was nice and all. But there were these beautiful, beautiful dresses. That says nothing to what these guys were doing here in these very ornate gowns that they would make. And so 10 of them, it was a significant number in that regard. And so the king, he doesn't know Elisha yet. And so he gets this letter and he's thinking, oh, man, this guy's, he's picking a fight with me. This guy wants to really get into war. Because basically the letter says, here's some money, here's some clothes, he's honored the king of Israel, heal my man. It's like, and obviously the king's like, what is this? Am I God that I should do this? Again, he doesn't know Elisha, but Elisha does this to show, to in many ways gain credibility to this new king of Israel, that there is a prophet in Israel. There is a man of God. And prophets help kings to rule the country. Obviously, there's no relationship. And so, in some ways, Elisha is giving an offering of help and of peace. So Elisha gets the word. So Elisha sends a messenger to Naaman. And notice, in a typical custom, Elijah should meet this Naaman, and he should go out, and there's proper diplomatic and cordial greetings. He doesn't do that. He sends his servant Gehazi out, and nothing. So there's no pomp and circumstance, which first offends Naaman in that regard. And then the next thing he does is that he goes, well, dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Now, you have to understand, the Jordan River If you go now, super dirty. Back then, super dirty. And he makes a comparison to this place in Damascus. The rivers of Damascus were incredible. They were so clean. In fact, there was a particular word that he was using. He says, are not Abana and Farfar the rivers? And these were like really famous, beautiful, clean rivers. And he asks him to dip inside the Jordan, this dirty river, seven times. Why seven times? Seven is the number of covenant. And so this is really not necessary for Naaman. This is actually for the king of Israel. You know, it's Elisha's way through Naaman of telling the king, remember, you have a covenant relationship with God. So he dips himself seven times. Well, first of all, he gets so offended by this that, first of all, Elisha does not come to meet this incredible warrior. Secondly, he asks him to this ridiculous thing for, and this is the key, a dirty man dipping in a dirty river, you would think makes a dirtier man. That makes sense, right? Dirty man dipping into a dirty river equals a dirtier man. But we know already through the Gospels that Jesus, unclean, touches clean, and person becomes clean. Now, in I'm talking about the woman, you know, that grabs the hem of his cloak. In Jewish society, unclean person touches a clean person, and the unclean person stays unclean. The clean person now it becomes unclean. And there's a 7-day ritual. They need to go out to the city, burn their clothes. It's a huge thing. In Jesus, an unclean person touches a clean person, but the clean person is Jesus. The clean person doesn't become unclean. Now the unclean person becomes clean. I'll be caught all that. And it's a beautiful miracle that happens. So you have Naaman, a dirty man, goes into a dirty river, but he comes out clean. It's a miracle that happens. We know that Naaman is so appreciative of this that he goes and he says, okay, all this stuff that I've given, I'm going to give it to you, Elisha. Elisha doesn't take any of it. And I want to show you something through this. And then Naaman says, well then, can I get some dirt? I mean, this is kind of really strange, right? Can I get 2 mules worth of dirt? And can I take it with me? And then what I'm going to do is I'm no longer going to go into the houses of my worship. Even the Syrian god that was worshipped this time was the house of Rimnon. Rimnon was, I mean, it sounds weird, but it was the pomegranate. And they used to worship this pomegranate. You know, it used to be cut and you could see all this stuff. And so so he goes and he actually asks to forgive him of his idolatry. And he will now worship the God of Israel. But he wanted the soil to create an altar. And the Syrians believe that, you know, for a lot of different things, that the earth of, you know, things happened was significant. So Elisha says, go ahead and go and do this thing. But notice what Elisha does in, number one, in not receiving Naaman, also in not taking any of his fruits of his miracle, you know, the gold and the change of clothing and all that stuff. By doing that, what's happening is Elisha is doing something totally cross-cultural or totally against what typically happens during that time. And what he's basically relaying to Naaman is simply that the God of Israel is very different than your God. The God of Israel is not like the gods that you serve. He doesn't do things for monetary gain. Remember, in the gods of Syria, if you wanted A, you had to give something to get something in return. And so he's totally going against the curve, and he asks nothing. That's why when Gehazi goes and he lies, and he says, well, you know, first of all, he follows after. He connives something. And he says, well, here's this thing that's happening here. Man, Naaman got healed. We didn't get anything for this. So he goes and he lies to Naaman, saying there are 2 sons of prophets came. And so he gets the gold and the change of clothes, the silver, the change of clothing. And then when Elisha confronts him, he lies to Elisha. I mean, think about what kind of idiot are you that you lie to the prophet? You know, I mean, you've been hanging out with this guy for ages, and you know that he's, I mean, he hears from the Lord. And so you got to love this word. He says in verse 26, did not my heart go with you when the man, I mean, you know, in other words, I was with you when you went there. I mean, that's kind of scary, you know, when you think about this in this regard. And it reminds me of a story. There's a pastor quite well known in the States, Chuck Smith, but it was actually Chuck Smith Jr. And we were out to lunch one day, and he was telling me about his mom. And his mom, even though, you know, Calvary Chapel is kind of, could be considered kind of anti-charismatic, his mom was like a prophetess. I mean, she really heard from the Lord. And so he said that when he was young, he couldn't get away with anything. You know, he there was one particular day he was hanging out with his friends, and he was looking at magazines that he shouldn't have been looking at. And he comes home, and his mom is like waiting for him in the garage. And so the garage door opens up, and the mom is there, and she's like, "What were you doing at so-and-so's house?" And he's kind of like, you know, tempted to lie, but he knew her well enough. And then she basically just started reading his mail. You know, you were looking at this magazine, and he knew, man, I should never lie, or kind of more so the fear of God, you know, comes over his life because his mom just kind of knows when he's making trouble all the time. It's pretty powerful. I think every parent needs to have a prophetic gift, right, in order to raise our kids in the fear of the Lord. Hey, what were you doing at your friend's house the other day, right? It's so powerful. But Elisha catches him, and this is why this is so grievous. It wasn't just about taking money and taking coin or taking clothing. This was more so that this was what God wanted to represent. Naaman being a honorable man, a wealthy man, he could have taken this message of a different God back to Syria. Look, this God doesn't want your gold or your silver or your changes of clothes. This God is a gracious God. This God will come down, and he is so different. He does things so differently than the other gods that we've been serving. And Naaman's heart is turned. But now this guy goes, Gehazi goes, and he takes money. It's just really a bad situation. There was a plan that God had put in mind for this miracle, and his servant goes and kind of, in some way, could have blown it by asking something in return for this gift of healing that was given to him in that regard. Okay? So, let's close our eyes. It says here, he was a valiant warrior. Naaman was a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Even in his great strength, he had a weakness. I applaud Naaman for trying to go and find healing. Brothers and sisters, you know, we taught this at SP for a while. Weakness not submitted to the Lord turns into wickedness. Brothers and sisters, we all have weaknesses. That's in our sinful nature. Another way of saying it, we all have a proclivity towards something. We have a bent. Our sinful nature, in many ways, propels us or thrusts us into sin. Weakness not submitted to the Lord turns into wickedness. And so submitting to the Lord is kind of what Naaman does, and he goes and seeks after healing. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you guys. We all have weaknesses. We need to be aware of our weaknesses. Even though Syrian society says there's nothing really wrong with leprosy, or doesn't have the social stigma, but Naaman knows he's not whole. I want to encourage you in this season of your life, every season of your life, seek after healing. Don't let your weakness turn into wickedness. Your proclivities turn into sin. I'll give you an example. Maybe you have a proclivity towards loneliness or being alone. And then, unsubmitted to the Lord, it turns into promiscuous sex or, all kinds of different things to cover up that very thing inside. We need to submit our weaknesses. And I respect Naaman in this regard. He went after healing. I want to encourage you that if you identify and recognize some weaknesses, submit them to the Lord. Seek after healing. And allow the Lord to do a deep work in us.
Hallelujah.
Weakness unsubmitted to the Lord leads to wickedness. I think most of us are pretty in tune with our weaknesses. Let's give it to Him right now in prayer, and then let's give it to Him by seeking after healing. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community, and let's ask God's hand of healing over those who are going through cancer, going to therapies, and let's pray for His healing word. Pray for our community that's battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray that God would reveal Himself. Let's pray for over our community that are battling through non-cancer illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Singapore. And let's ask God's spirit to breathe over this nation. Let's also pray for our church there. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim. Annie had their baby last week and a healthy baby girl. Her name is Avery. Let's pray for continued recovery for Annie. Continue to pray for the church that they would continue to grow in His grace and knowledge. Pray for Indonesia. Pray for Spin. Pray for Pastor Salamad, who's still out of town. Ask the Lord to continue to use him in the ministry and really just lift up the most populous Muslim country in the world. Now let's pray for these two countries. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Lift up IP, the well, and the river. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to continue to use our servants and our leaders and everyone that comes into contact with these ministries would receive healing from the Lord, either physical or emotional, spiritual healing. Particularly pray for the river. Rachel is on maternity leave. And so let's ask God to bless the people that are stepping in, which would be Belinda and Janice. Let's just lift them up. Janice Chan. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and the SP Youth and SPU. Let's pray that our students would really have an encounter with God. Pray for our pastors and our teachers, our staff, volunteer staff, that the Lord would really use them powerfully and that they would be changed as they're trying to change the kids. Let's pray for outreaches tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and the Homie Outreach. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really lead and guide and every volunteer that goes out that would really encounter the Lord as they minister Christ's love. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, thank you for your word today. And thank you for the example of Naaman, God. And Lord, even though on the outside everything looked good, Lord, but there was something else. There's a weakness, Lord, that was handicapping him. And we all, in the same way, God, we all want to put an outside face to the world, even to our friends and family. But Lord, you know, God, that there's things lurking inside. The devil prowls like a roaring lion seeking to devour, God. There's weakness in us, God, the devil wants to pounce on, Lord, and help us to submit them to you, God. Help us to seek after healing, Lord, even as Naaman did, God, and find, God, rest for our souls in you. And so we thank you, Lord. Give us the courage to do that, to seek after you, Lord God, in the midst of our weakness. Lord, you said that in our weakness, God, that we are made strong. Lord, that's when we submitted to you, Jesus. We thank you. We love you, God. We want to honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.